Welcome to Starfleet On Call. I am Paul France, owner of France Games. I've an SLB Online, Fedcom Online, and Starfleet Warlord. Just remind how to join us. We have a talk cast every Thursday night starting 9:30 p.m. Eastern Time. That might change in the future. If you want to call on phone, just dial 605-562-0444. Just follow the directions. Call ID is 17702. Or you can participate on the web. Just go to the talk show website at www.talkshow.com and search for call ID 17702. Or if you want the best online experience, what you want to do is you want to go over to twitch.tv. That's twitch.tv/sfuoncall. And you will find us there. You'll be able to join the chat room and be able to watch my lovely face live. And hopefully it doesn't break your monitor. But if you need to contact me for any reason, my email address is sfuoncall@gmail.com. It's sfuoncall@gmail.com. Also, you want to follow me on the Twitters. Of course, I have my sfuoncall account. Also, I have my personal account, which is Paul France, PaulFranz. There's no T in that. And my business account, Franz Games, FranzGames. Again, there's no T in that. But if you also, I do have an account on Blue Sky. I actually have two accounts on Blue Sky. That would be, except you go on call, .bsky.social. And also, FranzGames.com. Obviously, FranzGames.com is my personal and business account, which if you want to contact me there, that'd be great. We can talk, we can chat, we can talk about tech things, probably. Moving on forward, it comes news from ADB. Number one, Steve Petrick will not be the tournament marshal moving forward. He can do some work, but he's definitely not going to be up for being the tournament marshal anymore because of just having medical issues. Also from ADB this week, they're selling some of the old counter sheets. So if you want them, go to their store at starfleetstore.com and you will find them there. The sheets that they're selling they have the counter sheet K from the combined operations. There's for UF&E people for $1.75. They have the old counter sheet, the old one, from module R6 for only $3.95. The sheet 1 of 2 from module K is only $1. The SAP basic set has its counter sheet at $7.95. Now, this is the premium laser-cut counter sheet with the rounded corners. And it's still... If you want the premium... You want the basic set that's $7.95. You want the premium one. They actually are selling them, but you know it's going to cost you $29.95 for that premium rounded corners laser cut sheets. I almost want to buy one just to find out what they look like. And also we have the Klingon border half inch counter sheets. They're going for $7.95. The one that has the regular counters, this one has the regular counters and not the rounded ones. So just to warn you, if you want them, they're not the rounded corners. They're the square corners. But they're selling those, obviously, if you want the counter sheets, you know, especially if you, like, need more counters. F&E people, I think, if I call correctly, they collect them by the pound, not by the number of counters. They've lost count. There's so many. I thought SFB was bad. F&E, that's incredible. The number of counters you can get there. Now, found the online store this week. Something everyone should have is Battle Force Sequence of Play card. For those who have Starfleet Battle Force, it's always good to have an extra card or two, especially if you're playing with friends and you never know when some accident might happen. You know, buy two or three of them and just have them around so that if you do damage, spill coffee, spill a soda on the card, you've got backups. You know, they're not expensive. A dollar a piece. So if you really like playing that game, I definitely recommend getting at least a couple of those as backups, or possibly even just to have it so that everyone has a card. That's another good reason to do that. When it comes to SLB Online tournaments, Sapphire Star number 19. Signups are now open. When it comes to the 500 BPV tournament, Dana Madsen has defeated Eddie Crutchfield. And Justin and I are still trying to get together. We have the problem of he works during the day. And, yeah, he can play, but it makes it really hard for the weekdays. Weekends are usually best for him. So hopefully we can get together this weekend. I'm hoping Justin sometimes is not as responsive, you know? I'm not sure why. I understand he's busy. Lord knows. I get busy, too. But, you know, if we want to get this thing going, we need to get together and start playing it out. When it comes to online client stuff, nothing new this week. So, sorry, nothing new this week. Actually, that's the funny part is that my wife and my daughter have been gone for the past like few weeks. And I thought I'd have lots of time to work on the client. I could do all kinds of cool stuff with it. And I did some stuff, but not as much as I expected. Moving onward forward, when it comes to Starfleet Warlord stuff, there will be this weekend, I will be sending out for the new standard game for people to play, because I know there's some people that really like the standard game, and there's a few individuals that do not. That's fine. You don't have to play it. You don't have to play every single game that I have, and I need to start that up, because we are getting to round turn 10. Turn 10 is when I go from a one-week cycle to a two-week cycle. Standard games, I've been doing one-week cycles on, so I'm probably going to do that for that. Moving onward and forward, when it comes to library report, there's no updates at the moment. I do have some discussions happening. I've not had a chance to actually read the emails. There are some I need to do. It looks like I think I have to update the journal ones, and there might be a few other updates I saw in some emails, which I haven't got around to actually looking at. When it comes to the FedCom library, there's no progress there. And so with that, that is the news for this week. And it's me, the one all Paul, welcoming you to Starfleet Nurse on call. And tonight, we have me, of course. And we have Doug. Say hi, Doug.
Hi, Doug.
He's back from the internet desert.
Yay! It was a hard crawl, and the vultures didn't quite get me, but it sure felt like they were gonna sometime.
We saw them circling, but they fortunately didn't land. Good, there. Double check and make sure everything's going on Twitch. I'm assuming that's, yeah, okay. I think it was time before that. Started Twitch. I was actually watching an old stream. I'm going, what the world? That's weird. It's not really, not no delaying. And it's like, okay, finally figured it out. So, anyhow, actually, Doug, why don't we start with your topic for this evening, and then we'll go forward with mine.
Okay. I got another box of stuff from a friend in Texas who was handling Mike's estate stuff.
Uh-huh. Wow.
And oh God, I feel old because I got to annoy my son with it a little bit.
Uh-huh.
My older son. I forgot that I was actually published in a captain's log.
Oh wow.
Yeah, it was a term paper, nothing humongous.
No big article.
Size goes. But I saved it for the next day after I'd paged through it, and I showed that page to my son and said, recognize any of the names on there? Yeah. I got a groan out of it. It was term paper on tactics for old years. The early years, I'm sorry.
Early years. Old years, what the heck?
Old years.
Yeah.
Yeah, the old foginess is setting in on me. Oh, I'm sorry. But basically it was an extra way of dealing with being a Romulan in that particular time frame.
Uh-huh.
As opposed to, like, you know, just getting blown up right away and being much more deadly.
So it was kind of like sublight ships.
And basically just if you go through the docking rules, it you can dock those ships together, and depending on how you orient them when you dock it, you could basically make kind of like a Tholian pinwheel thing.
Oh wow.
And because you're sharing power and shields and everything else, then those ships suddenly become like mini star bases.
Yeah.
And much, much more dangerous to approach. So there was that. The other thing was I was thinking about running a scenario with a couple of players involving some of the old Starfleet stuff, because I did get a little inspired on that just going through some of those old captain's logs. And one of the stories that I read, it basically kind of inspired me towards, hey, what if this was a different scenario from something that was in that?
Mm-hmm.
You know, like a little spin-off.
Right.
And I was thinking about designing that, and if I could find two players to sit down and do it, see what kind of feedback I could get on it.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah.
And or run it as a thing, a multi, like, oh, what's the term? I'd say multimedia, but like more like multi-layered thing.
Oh.
At gamers. If there's some interest in it.
Right.
Because it could involve some boarding. It could be like a GURPS thing. It could be like a...
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Or it could be using, say, the old boarding... The new board... The boarding rules.
Yeah, I know which one you're talking about. Module N.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's a possibility. I mean, it's just... It reminded me, just going through a lot of that old material, about how much of a layer cake, onion peel thing SFB really is. It's like, oh, yeah. So, there's that. We could talk about that later if you want.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that'd be interesting. And obviously, if you wanted to, how big of a scenario are you thinking? Without including like the Marines and that kind of thing,
It's two players possibly for the scenario.
How many ships?
Probably two, maybe three or four tops.
Okay,
not a lot, and it would be mostly small ships, which is also
understood.
Part of the boarding thing and/or the GURPS side of it.
Well, obviously, one thing that could be done is playing it online. You know, maybe get a couple of volunteers to play it online and test it out that way.
Yeah. Well, for a SFB type scenario, yes.
Mm-hmm.
For the potential role playing side of it.
Right.
I don't know.
No. Yeah.
I think that's more of a, might be nice to have a small group or
yes.
Or two people playing like something like snapshot rules, you know, or going to the Starfleet Marines rules,
mm-hmm.
Because of the nature of it. And part of the thought was the one that caught my attention was the Return of the Hood.
Mm.
That story in particular, there was a small section where they make a comment where the little frigate that's the adversary in the story,
right,
comes across a wreck of like a Fed light cruiser or something, and they basically attach a, they're bored as heck out and stuff, but they're doing a patrol through somewhat conquered space. And they find this wreck, and it's not part of not part of the action in the story, but it's kind of like a side note of things they're doing while they're bored looking for something to do. And they put a transponder on it for a salvage team to come find later.
Mm-hmm.
And my thought was, what if both sides show up close to about the same time and one side is coming in with like a large freighter with modules or small freighter with modules,
mm-hmm.
and a team of people on it that are going to basically restart the engines and get the ship back, and the other team is coming in to either do the same thing for their side or salvage the ship.
Right. So basically a bunch of engineers.
Stuff off of it. Because it's a dead ship, right. Basically. And, oh, apparently I have a peanut gallery tonight. Hi. Yeah. So, at any rate.
Kids are kitty.
Yeah, one of them snuck up behind me.
Ah.
It's like, but, yeah, they do that. Jeez. Yeah. Think you'd get used to it after a while. But that's kind of the thought. And it's like, there could be reinforcements involved,
mm-hmm.
because, you know, each salvage team thinks they're going to be the one that gets there and does it by themselves.
Right.
But their adversarial role-playing aspect of it could be, you know, teams in opposition.
Mm-hmm.
If we use like the traveler snapshot kind of rules and adopted the weaponry into SF Universe, or we could do Starfleet Marines,
mm-hmm.
or we could do a version of like GURPS Lite, because, you know, it, depending on how the scenario is set up, it could be very wargamey and it could be very role playing.
Right. Yeah, definitely agree. Either way, you could go either way.
So, yeah, and that part might not lend itself as well to online play.
Agreed. I totally agree there.
So, but what I was thinking of is it could be set up as a scenario for presentation at, and I could get somebody to run it at Gamers of Summer,
mm-hmm.
or it could be a literally, here's what it takes to get the ship restarted within the SFU rules, and from there it could be a short scenario where the two salvage teams, the opposing salvage teams, have to get their thing done before reinforcements show up for both sides and the salvage ships need to be gone. So there's that.
Mm-hmm.
So that was just my random extra mm-hmm. thing.
Yeah.
Also, I do have some posters to take with you, and a page or two, if you want to take them, of small itty bitty handout size ones.
Oh, okay.
For gamers.
Okay. Yeah.
You want to take it to your game shop?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, yeah. The one that's right down the block. Yeah.
Come on. I also understand if you don't want to come down as weekend moment. When you have your son, because I don't want to suck your time away.
Yeah, well, that was last weekend.
Oh, hey, okay. Doug.
Hey.
Hey.
Hi. Hey, Doug, could you please plug that Gamers of Summer thing that you were just mentioning?
Yes, I can. Gamers of Summer is, we'll be at the Red Lion Hotel in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. 17111 is the zip code. It's, part of a chain. It's a very nice venue. Labor Day weekend, Saturday, Sunday, and Monday, August 30th, 31st, and the 1st of September this year. Since, you know, Labor Day is pretty much always the first Monday.
Right. So it's in Harrisburg. Hensburg.
And Paul, Paul will be giving me a schedule of Starfleet Universe stuff that he will have with him when he's there.
Mm-hmm.
We're not sure how many other SFB type players will show up. Sometimes Barry comes out when he can make it. And then, you know, every once in a great while, we'll get somebody randomly over the years. But it just the turnout for that has not been there as far as, like, people coming in to do scenarios.
Yeah, go. But hey, I'll be there.
Yeah.
I'll be playing Starfleet Battles, Federation Commanders, Starfleet Marines, which I still need to play a little more. I've only played it, like, 3 times. And one of those times was a solo scenario. Actually, I think, yeah, one time it was a solo scenario, and actually another time it was actually against somebody.
Yeah. The hours for the event are 9 a.m. Saturday and Sunday until about midnight-ish both days, and then 10 a.m. till 10 or 11-ish on Monday. Usually we close early on Monday because it's a big travel day.
And the great part about it also is that they'll lock up the doors at night. So if you have like a large fleet battle.
You can leave stuff set up and stuff in there if you don't want to drag it in and out.
Yep.
And it's a full service hotel. They have a restaurant. They have a bar. There's plenty of places to eat nearby.
Mm-hmm.
Should we somehow need a second or third or fourth meeting room, they have them. There's one right across the hall that's almost the same size.
Yep.
And a couple more that are short walks away.
Mm-hmm.
So they've told us that, you know, if we had a sudden influx, yes, they can accommodate. So, but it's one of the nicer venues we've had over the years.
Yep.
The only downside to it is that we don't know how far into the future it will last because the owners of the company were looking to sell the building itself. However, they are continuing in operations, and we are contracted for, I believe, yes, we are contracted for President's Day of 2026. So we got next winter as well there.
Yeah, which that's going to be a tough one.
Yeah, well.
Valentine's Day. Yes.
But you know what? I think that's a fading thing.
Mm-hmm.
Especially when you're talking about, like, you know, graying gamers and young gamers that are couples.
Mm-hmm.
And because to me, and this is just my personal opinion, I know it's not everybody's, and I know there are probably people out there that would skewer me for what I'm about to say, but Valentine's Day is basically, to me, it's kind of a worthless holiday. It was literally, if you know the history of it, it was created to sell greeting cards, for God's sake. You know, well, no, that was Mother's Day, I'm sorry, but it's an artificial holiday that was created to sell stuff. And it really didn't exist prior to the early 20th century marketing in the U.S. in its current form. You know, there was a Saint Valentine with his day and all that stuff within that religious setup. But as far as a, you know, basically dating day and relationship day thing, that's to me an unnecessary pressure on people. And quite frankly, if you want to avoid that kind of bullshit rat race kind of mentality, you know, then coming out to gamers is a good something else to do. And heck, you probably have a better chance of meeting a long-term mate there than you do on an actual Valentine's Day date. So that's just my opinion. Not that we're like a speed dating service or anything.
Understood.
I did try that one year.
Wow.
Yeah, there was 1 year where I said speed dating thing. Because for some reason it seemed like a good idea to tie it in with the Valentine's Day thing. And yeah, it was actually a thing. And pretty much, like, I think one person showed up for it. She was kind of disappointed. So, any rate.
Yeah, you saw you when I'm out of here.
Eh. So, any rate. Yeah, I think that's... Is there anything else I need to plug about Gamers of Summer?
Do you have any questions? Think?
Or is that a sufficient plug?
That was good for me. Thank you.
You're welcome. So, oh, and online registration is open.
Yes.
We have a Facebook thread, Gamers of South Central PA Convention thing. If you use those search terms, you should be able to find us on Facebook. And then gamersofsummer.net, gamersofwinter.net. We'll also turn it up. As we have registering through the Facebook thread does not register you for a badge. We have basically a PayPal link on the official website for it to reserve a badge ahead of time, which just makes the whole process of like getting our attendees through the door much faster. So there's that.
Yep.
Oh, that's awesome. Thank you, Doug.
Yay. Thank you for the interest in it.
Yep. Yeah. I would love to go. I've wanted to go to the Council of Five Nations for years and years and years. I'm bummed that they don't seem to do them anymore.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, I'm on the other coast.
Ah. Oh,
I feel your pain.
Yes.
Actually, the Pacific time zone?
Yes, I'm okay. In Oregon.
Okay. Ah, yeah. Right above California. Okay, cool.
Yes. Yes, I have been talking to a couple other gamers that are on the West Coast, and there's been a little bit of interest in maybe getting together for a weekend and doing some Starfleet.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing firm, nothing. We don't even have a date, but we have a wish right now. So there might be something there for the news later on, and I'll let you know whenever anything gets together.
Please, because if you're gonna, like, at some game store or get together, you know, get a hotel conference room, that kind of thing, you know, they can get quite a few people together. That, you know, please, I'll be happy to announce it as part of the podcast, and possibly awesome. You want to send it out via an email to the FTB Online community.
Yeah. I know there's two or three people over in Seattle I game with fairly regularly on Starfleet Online.
Mm-hmm.
There's one or two in the Portland area, and I think there's somebody down in Northern California that I've talked to.
Mm-hmm.
So we're kind of thinking, initially we were thinking maybe kind of the middle ground, like Cottage Grove, Oregon, but that's... Still, everything is a wish right now, so there's nothing firm.
Understood. That's fine. You know, it's good to know that there are still people playing and people who want to get together for actual, real in-person action and not just. The thing is, and I realize this so much, which is for those of the community who play online. They use the SLB Online client and so forth. When they go to paper and pen, It's the jarring experience where you actually have to total up yourself. The computer doesn't do it for you. You actually have to roll the dice. But actually, I'm sorry. That part of it, like rolling the dice, that kind of textual element, I think is awesome myself. The having when it comes to energy allocation, yeah. That's one of the things. Okay, it's been nice to have a nice little automated tool to use it. And no, but yeah. You know, it...
Hey, is your Twitch stream showing feedback for you?
I mean feedback. You mean chat room?
No, the video feed.
This thing, it looks for me. It looks fine.
Okay. I'm gonna reload then, I guess.
Okay, yeah, because I'm viewing it on my iPad. And it looks fine on my iPad.
Okay. It might be my bad connection.
What is it? Sorry, one of my cats. My big.
I'll find out. I'll find out when you post it to YouTube. Recently, I've binged all of your YouTube videos.
Sorry.
The back. Yeah, there's only about 8 of them, I think, right now.
There we go.
You mean 8 of them you haven't watched?
No, I think I've only found 8 of them in your list.
Oh. Yeah. But I have a short list when it comes to SB Online itself, yeah.
Okay, that's what I was probably seeing.
Yeah, I actually, if you go to SFU on call, you know, do YouTube/@SFU on call, you should be able to find my YouTube channel doing that. And if you look for all my videos, all my videos are there.
All right. Okay, cool.
Now, I'm the thing, sorry, just that I got a little, ouch. Can you stop doing that? Cat was putting his claws into my leg.
Ow.
Yeah.
I'm not a scratching post.
Yes. Unfortunately, they think I'm a scratching post. And the real worst part is that the kitten we got last year, she learned from these two knuckleheads that, oh, you can use his leg as a scratching post. And it's like, no. It's not a scratching post.
Double check your Twitch because I'm looking at it and I'm just getting a thing a black screen with a question mark on it. There's somebody in there going, board game bard?
Yeah, I noticed. Like, what are you doing tonight? I'm not sure what that is. And I don't want to respond to him. Well, I see the original icon posted. And it just gets me nervous. Anyway, can you not? Yeah. Okay. Okay, that's different. Yeah, what's up? We're talking about SFU on call here. We're actually going down the rabbit hole of people playing on real life, which is fine with me. But moving on to the topic, I had planned at least one of the topics. I probably won't get to the second topic, which actually will be the third topic, or maybe fourth. If you consider talking about Gamers of Summer, a topic, kind of isn't. It's more of a helpful announcement, you know, the community announcement. And that is one thing that I found out when I raised my hand and said, "Oh, Steve, I'll be the judge," is that I'm not the only one. What? I'm not the only. I thought I was special. I thought I was the only person that you know should ever be a judge. You know, I'm not sure. But anyhow, and the one topic that kind of came to my mind today, which was what is it necessary to actually be a judge? You know, what are the, not necessarily are the requirements, what are the good things to have? Maybe almost, almost requirements. And I was thinking about that because of, to be a judge, for the, some of you, you know, that if you've listened to me a long enough time, but back in the day, before ADD stopped going to Origins, I actually was a volunteer judge. And actually, from, I don't want to say this, but I feel like it, that I kind of was second in command. First, there was Steve Patrick. He's the head judge. He's top judge. And then I was kind of second in command. At least I was there. I helped him a lot. I was there like for the whole tournament and, you know, all the days. And I'd spend as much time there as possible. And like, yeah, I get my time off to go to like the dealer room and things like that. But, you know, I kind of was number two. At least that's why I saw myself as number two. I could be wrong, you know. I was definitely one of those people that would be a judge every single year. Like me, I forgot his name now. It's awful. I can picture him, but I can't remember his name.
Was he tall with glasses?
Well, Nick Blank was one of them.
Anything to Burnside?
No, not Burnside. Burnside never did.
Never did?
No.
Okay.
Don't get me started on Burnside. Don't get me started on that guy.
Oh, was he a heavyset fellow with glasses?
Bald? Bald guy.
Black hair?
He had no hair. Yeah, well, he had hair on the side, but it was bald on top.
Okay.
I forgot. He used to play Starfleet Warlord. They stopped doing that a while ago. But anyhow.
Yeah, I have a mental picture now, thanks.
You're welcome. But anyway, we were all judges, and actually we were official judges. We actually had little cards, you know, that we actually were official judges for ADB. Which was great because actually that was back in the day in Origins when they would give vouchers to some, you know, to the vendors when it comes to their volunteers that they had, so they could get like free food, you know, using the vouchers at the court, at the food court, you know, at least reduced priced, you know, food, which was fine, you know, that helped out a great deal, because when you're paying for the hotel room by yourself. Or, you know, even if you're sharing with a person, you know, it's still, it costs quite a bit of money to be out at the convention for like 4 days, possibly five, depending upon when you got there. But anyhow, obviously one of the things that as a judge you need to be is obviously patience. The toughest part about being a judge in my mind is dealing with conflicts. That is, when it comes to conflicts between different players, that usually is the most difficult part in my mind of doing the job. That, and also, as it wasn't obvious, which is adjudications. Adjudications suck dirt because of it's, and I've gone through, I've talked about this way a long time ago, but I know I talked about it, which is one thing, the way adjudications are done. Adjudications are done very, very, very carefully. And that is, we would, as a set of judges, we have a triumvirate. We have three judges who would do an adjudication. So it wasn't to a single person. And we would have, we said, okay, what is, you know, the obvious part stuff, you know, okay, we checked the EA, okay. And then what we would do is, okay, we asked them, okay, make sure the EA was fine. After the EA was fine, and they answered any questions we had about their EAs, if there's like, they use a certain annotations that are non-standard, things like that, so we could make sure that, you know, okay, that they weren't cheating, that the EAs were fine, and we can go check that box, because if there was any errors, then we got a problem. And the question is, for those problems, how do you solve it? In some cases, that is one thing that happens as part of a game, which is somebody goofs. Somebody, like, you know, it can happen even SFB Online, which is that you said that you have speed plot, but you're going like speed 24, and then you're reducing it to speed like 12 on impulse 17. Well, if you forget to announce it, because you can do that in SFB Online, it can happen, even with the, you know, in the online client, you get a notification, hey, you have a speed change. But if you, when that impulse comes up, right before you do movement, you know, so you dismiss it, and then you do your movement. That the thing is, you have to remember that there was a notification. And you might forget, in which case you might keep going, and if you keep going for the rest of that turn at speed 24, that's a goof. And the question is, at that point, can that kind of thing be resolved? Can, in that case, it might not be, that's not, in that case, that's not resolvable, most probably, because normally you might do something like that, okay, well, they didn't announce the reduction. That means your batteries are drained, because, you know, that's a quick way of resolving it. Possibly you had to use your batteries to maintain speed. So even though you had planned to announce it, you know, but of course there comes problems that if you use your batteries for reinforcement or firing weapons or something like that, then we have problems. But anyhow, after we check the EA, okay, you're good. Boom. Next is, of course, we go, okay, we see your position, we see your ship, we see the other person's ship. What is your plan to win this game? So, and they have to tell us what they plan on doing. We can't prompt them in any way, shape, or form. We can't ask them, well, what if the opponent does this? What if the opponent does this? They have to make sure that they thought about that before they tell us. We don't query them and basically give them ideas of what if the opponent does this or does this. You know, we can't give them ideas. They have to tell us what they plan on doing. And then given the two plans, we have to say, okay, did this person, okay, see which one we think would be victorious. And given in some cases, okay, if this person didn't even think about, hey, this person might stop, you know, something simple, then because in some cases, yeah, that'd be stupid. Other cases, you know, not mentioning it really is okay. But in some cases, there's a possibility the person might stop dead, because that'd be the smart, tactically advantageous thing to do. In which case, if the opponent had not thought about that, then we got a problem, because that means they didn't think about it. In which case, we can assume that they'd be surprised by that and not plan for that kind of action. Therefore, we have say, okay, if they hadn't planned for that action, and this person does that, they're going to be surprised. And what how do we think that they will react? You know, and that's why, as part of a judge, you need to be playing the game. You need to make sure that you're still playing the game, still trying, you know, learning tactics, at the very least using tactics in play. And remember how the game flows, how the game works when it comes to tactically speaking. I'm not talking about the rules. I'm talking about tactically speaking. Because if you don't have a good feel for the game in that scenario, you have a problem. Because of judging, doing that adjudication is probably false. And as many people know, being a judge in adjudication sucks because of we have the issue that we give an adjudication. We will not tell them how we came up with that determination, because we can't. We can't say, well, this person gave this plan, and you gave this plan. If they want, if the two players want to talk about it later, they're free to do so. But you know, obviously, in a normal adjudication, you have one person. You say, okay, you go over there. We got to talk to this guy, and then we're done with talking with this the one guy. Then we say, okay, now you come back over here. You go over there. So basically, they can't hear each other and what they told the judges, which is very important itself. But yeah, there's been more than one time people have been upset with the judges because they think the judges got it wrong. But at the same time, they're looking at it from what they know about the situation within and what they might do, not what those two other players have told us about what they're going to do. So, which obviously one of the most difficult parts about it. Now, and when it comes to online, it's even worse. Unfortunately, we don't have three people. We don't have a triumvirate. We don't have a three-person committee which can discuss what they think that and other people, you know, because of the one person might have the wrong impression, and then the other two will correct them. You know, and well, you can have that discussion with the other judges about what they think will happen, and because sometimes it's obvious who's going to win or it's going to come out to be. You know, and then after, you know, when it comes to adjudication, when it comes to end of the tournament, that kind of thing, end of the game thing, that's true. And then we have, of course, the individual adjudication that they say something happens in the middle of the game. And you have to say, okay, what should happen? You know, or answering another one, obviously, answering rules. You have to know the rules pretty well, backwards and forward. As the judge. And of course, with now when it comes to SB Online, when it comes to being a judge, especially now, you can't go back and ask Steve Petrick, because Steve Petrick is probably going to, as Steve Cole mentioned on the actually discussion board, so I feel like I can actually say this, that is Steve, any work that Steve Petrick can do to help the company, that should be his focus. And his focus should not be on answering rules at this point. He didn't say answering rules, but he definitely couldn't be the judge anymore. Mm. You know, so that Steve Cole actually said,
"Yeah, age gets us all."
Yes, it does. Yes, it does. So, given that fact, I would try to use Steve Petrick as the official rules lawyer. The judge is going to have to do that. At least that's what I feel like. And possibly might be able to, if the judge has some questions, might be able to push it off to Steve Cole. But, you know, that also would be a very limited basis. I'd say, you know, do that only in desperation, if you really are not sure.
Well, the thing is with the SFB Online thing, you've got all the time in the world to do it. What really kind of does it for being the judge is when you're doing it at a convention.
Right. Well, no.
Live environment.
Oh, understood. But still, even with online, we have deadlines.
Yeah.
You're usually given, for the first round, I think they're given 3 weeks, and then every successive round is only 2 weeks.
Right, but your deadlines are in weeks, but at a convention...
Right.
You're working on hours or minutes.
Oh, agreed. When it comes to the number of turns that can be played online versus the number of turns played at a real, you know, in-person tournament, yes. Mm-hmm. There's a big difference there.
Yeah, because like at Origins, when they used to run that, the Gold Hat and the Patrol Tournament there, they had, you know, if you hit the limit on time, you got adjudicated.
Right.
You know, if you hit a point where neither player could hurt each other, you both had to, you got adjudicated, basically. So.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
I went through that once. I don't know if you remember it or not, if we were commuting at the time.
Yes, we were.
Oh, you remember it?
Yes, I do.
Just to save me the memory thing at 2 o'clock in the morning, do you remember if I won that adjudication or lost?
I don't remember. That's the one thing I don't remember. I remember you were adjudicated. That was the one thing. And I was not, I don't think I was part of that adjudication.
No, you weren't.
I'm not sure if I was
not if we were riding together.
Right.
But if it was before. If it was before we rode together, maybe.
Yeah, true. I have to bow out of that of said things because I know this guy.
Yeah.
I don't want to hear it on the way home or have people
bitch about it. Yeah.
Right. Well, no. The thing is, in that case, again, it's one of those judgment things when it comes to being a judge. You have to make sure that you're above the fray. If there's even a possibility that you might pick your friend over another person, or you look like you have. You have to excuse yourself.
A little voice in my head says I came out on top, but at 2 o'clock in the morning when I'm trying to sleep, that's when I'll probably remember how it went. And then I'll totally forget about it overnight because, you know, snork.
Understood. Hey, when I wake up in the middle of the night and start thinking, it's like, no. Shut down. Turn off. You can't start thinking about things in the middle of the night because you'll never get back to sleep.
Yep.
That's one thing I hear about these people. One of those people I know is Leo Laporte, podcaster that I listen to sometimes these days. I used to listen to him a lot, but anyhow, doesn't matter. He's one of those people that is really attached to his phone, that if he wakes up in the night, he'll pick it up. Oh, what's going on? Like, no, that's exactly the wrong thing you do. Put down the crack pipe, leave it down, don't pick it up.
Exactly.
Yeah, and that's why he had to get off of Instagram, because they really target him well when it comes to advertising, and he finds himself buying all this kind of crap that's on being advertised on Instagram. It's like, okay.
Yeah, you just gotta be able to turn that shit off.
Yep.
Flat out.
Yes, I will not pick up my phone in the middle of the night. The only time I might do that is one, if someone calls me, two, if I get a text in the middle of the night, which might be important. Most of the time I sleep through it, because invariably, if it's a text of anyone that X gets notified, because I have a sleep focus for my phone, I have that set up. So the only people that actually get through are family members. And currently, the only family member that ever texts me in the middle of the night is my daughter. And usually, it's just, oh, just a reminder, dad, blah, 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 this, whatever. You know, when you get up, make sure that you do this and do that. Still remember, I have a picture of it, which is my one laptop covered in post-it notes to remind me to do something, because I kept on forgetting. Yeah. I took a picture because I own it. That was me. I screwed up there, you know. So, you know, getting back to being a judge, you know, so those are difficult tasks that you have to be able, you know, willing to step up and face the music. And with the online, as I said, I think the biggest challenge will be when it comes to the online tournaments is going to be, with those adjudications, is making a fair judgment and making the right judgment, because unlike, you know, at Origins, where I you know, we usually, you know, if it was a rules question, we got them. We got first Steve Petrick and then Steve Cole. So if you wanted the answer, we had the gods of S&P rules. So they could easily tell us what is the interpretation. I still remember the whole, when it comes to midterm speed, you know, unplotted midterm speed changes. Oh, I still remember that. Oh, that was interesting. That, you know, it took a while for people to finally realize it's actually simpler than we've been making it out to be. And Steve Cole finally realized everyone was goofing up because he understood it, but he did not communicate it well. Though, yeah, you know, hey, it's a mistake that I'm sure every game designer has done. Steve Cole is good. You know, he's good as a game designer. And he understands, the issue, which is why, you know, the SFB rules became so thick. Is because, I've mentioned this before, which is back in the old days, you have all these individual groups come to a convention, all with different understandings of the rules. And that's why Steve Cole had to sit down and write the interactions for the different rules. And that's why the number of rules got pretty thick. Most of the time, you don't need to know all of those rules. You don't have to memorize the interaction between every single system. That's why you have the rule book. So you go back and you actually can check the rules about the interaction of the systems. And these are usually the ones that you like rarely run into, like, Wild Weasel and that's going in a minefield, you know. How does it being a Wild Weasel, does it have an additional effect because of ECM that is produced? Now, how does it affect going through a minefield? You know, is it just purely the speed of the Wild Weasel? Uh-huh. You know, that's when you have to go look up the rules, because that's one of the situations like, it could be nothing. But of course,
or it could be, does it act as if it were the ship?
Right. Exactly.
And then go boom.
Is it considered size class of the ship, or is it considered just the size class of the shuttle? You know, things like, you know, rules like that, you know, that you actually have to look up.
Yeah, first there was the errata. Then there was the errata to the errata. Then there was the book of errata. And then there was Commander's Edition after more errata.
Oh, yeah.
Still remember when Origins coming out after Commander's Edition and saying, yep, there's no more errata because we put it all together in this new edition, and here's a page of errata. Yeah.
And then we had the Captain's Edition.
Which was not going to have any errata.
Yeah.
Okay. About a month later, here's your first page of errata.
Yeah. Oh,
yeah. Yep. Mission creep.
Yeah, no, I'm thinking about what they did to Andromeda in the Capitalist Edition, but I digress. You know what I'm talking about. They nerfed them.
Wait a second. As a non-Andromeda player, let me just think about this. Yeah, well, you got to admit, before that, you basically had to triple the BPV to have a chance.
Yeah.
So.
True. I still wish when it comes to the Captain's Edition, they would have modified the Fed ships in that. Because anyone who's read Module P6, which is a playtesting module, one of the things that they mentioned is that the original idea was actually to have, everyone had 4 photons. But depending upon your size, class, your ship, you had like either regular photons or had mini photons. But they never did that. So I really wish they would have done that for the Captain's Edition when it comes to the Federation. Just because it was early enough that they could modify that and get away with it. And because it was supposed to be the final release, which actually it kind of was, the final release. After that, then it was the electronic form. And at that point, I forget when basically ADB got publishing rights back from
Paramount.
Task Force Games.
Oh, okay.
Task Force. In which case, at that point, then ADB did print on demand, which was a great idea. So, such a great idea. It definitely revolutionized the business for ADB, so they could actually create, not have that warehouse full, they have to print out like 1,000, or like 100 or more copies, which then you got from a printer, then had to be shipped to you.
Dude, print-on-demand coming into play as a technology is one of the best things for small publishers.
Yes. Yes, it was.
So.
Yep. Well, with that, I need to wrap up for the evening. It's starting to get late. And, of course, I need to wake up early. So, Doug, it has been a pleasure having you around.
Thanks. I'll be here for a couple minutes. I got something I want to ask you when you're done with this.
Okay, we'll do. Okay. Have a good night.
Mm-hmm. Thanks for.
Okay. So, had a little discussion there about a neat idea when it comes to an SMB scenario based off of that, which definitely sounds interesting and. I think I forgot to ask Doug, which was just, and Doug, I got you muted, so you can't answer. Which was, if the wreck is on a planet, you can definitely a neat Starfleet Marine scenario, if that's where it was located. I think that'd be kind of cool. Obviously, in that scenario, what you'd also might want to do is actually create an actual outline of a ship for how, and then have it so that the Marines can go inside the ship and so forth. Which I think that'd be kind of cool. When it comes to tactically speaking, that's one thing I was thinking about, which was basically that how large is the ship and how large are those hexes, that kind of thing. But anyhow, we got to discuss a little bit about judging and what I think anyone who wants to be a judge will have to consider as, and they're part of a judge, and of course have to be kept in mind when choosing who to be the judge. So anyway, with that, I am Paul Franz, and I bid you a good night.